Beside the container stood Mistress Tyla Mong, Master Charsay Saul, and two other masters whose names Ben had not learned. All four turned in surprise at their entry. "I apologize for the intrusion," Luke said. "Master Charsay Saul, you look very good for one who's recently deceased." Tyla Mong looked decidedly unhappy.
"This is unforgivably rude of you."
"Unfortunately, my need, which I expressed to you, a need involving all possible knowledge about Jason Solo, forces me to do some uncomfortable things, such as intrude on your rituals. The problem is, when I realized that Charsay Saul was not dead, it occurred to me that your predecessor, Koro Zil, might not be dead either. True?" Tyla Mong, tight-lipped, did not immediately answer. Charsay Saul spoke up.
"In a moment, I will climb into the transport."
He indicated the silver lozenge.
"I will be swept away, never again to see sunlight, the temple, or my family. Then Charsay Saul will truly be dead."
"Charsay Saul will," Luke said. "But you won't." Charsay Saul hesitated, then nodded.
"I will take a new name. Charsay Saul will be dead."
"So Koro Zil also took a new name?" Tyla Mong interrupted.
"We cannot answer that. It is forbidden."
"And yet I need to speak to Koro Zil, or whoever he is now." Tyla Mong looked at them, considering.
"This could be arranged if you are willing to do what Charsay Saul is about to do."
That alarmed Ben. "Fake our deaths?"
"No. Climb into a transport and ride to where Charsay Saul is going."
"I will go," Luke said. "Ben can stay here."
"It is both, or neither,"
Tyla Mong said.
"Answers for both, or answers for none."
Luke frowned, but Ben nodded.
"I'm in."
His father turned to him. "Ben."
"Dad, Jason, Coruscant, answers?"
Luke scowled. "I don't like it that you can win an argument without using verbs." Ben just smiled at him. Charsay Saul climbed into his transport. The lid was lowered over him. Tyla Mong shoved the transport along the rails until it fully entered the hole in the wall. Then gravity, magnetic propulsion, or some other motivator Ben couldn't detect took over. The transport disappeared, clattering its way down into the depths of the planet. The other two Baron Doe masters returned with transports on rolling carts. They lifted one onto the rails. Luke climbed in and gave Ben one final encouraging look. Then the masters lowered the lid on him, too, and shoved him into the railed tunnel. As they positioned his transport on the rails, Ben wondered what he was getting into this time, and whether he would soon consider his time on the surface of Doran to have been a vacation spot in comparison.
Calrissian Nunba Mines, Kessel.
They had breakfast in the conference room where Lando, Tendra, and Nian Nunba had first talked to Han and Leia, but none of the adults were there now. Nana served, C-3PO chattered, Chance treated his food as though it were as much a toy as a meal, and Alana moped, scarcely tasting her food. Lando's wild yell of victory jolted her. She stared wide-eyed as he burst into the conference room, his hip cloak askew, his face all smiles.
"Get your breath mask," he told her. "We're going on the Lady Luck, my yacht, to pick up your parents."
10 minutes later, Lando, Tendra, Alana, and Nian Nunba all crowded into the cockpit of the Lady Luck, came in for a landing on a salt plain many kilometers from the mine. Han and Leia stood there in the middle of nowhere, breath masks not concealing the smiles on their faces. They looked dirty, scuffed, tired, and cold, but they had never looked better to Alana.
"That's the way it is with your folks," Lando told Alana. "Everything's fine now."